The Sunstrider 2 dropped out of hyperspace and took up orbit above Golgotha, home world and seat of power of the Empire. And Owen Deathstalker and Hazel Dark couldn't have cared less. Viramond had left them both drained. After the physical and psychological hammering they'd taken at the old Deathstalker standing, it was all they could do to sit upright in their chairs and grunt responses to the main starport's landing instructions. Owen keyed in the coordinates and let the navigation computers handle it. They were better at landing than he'd ever be, and he was just so deathly tired. At least during the rebellion, he'd had something to fight for. Now it seemed he was fighting just for something to do, and could only watch helplessly as more and more of his old life was lost to him. Besides, if he was being honest with himself, the Sunstrider II intimidated him. The Hayden men, those enigmatic augmented men, had rebuilt the ship to resemble the lost original as closely as possible, but they hadn't been able to resist improving it. So that although Owen had been flying the yacht for some time, he still didn't feel entirely comfortable about handling the ship himself. Owen could cope with doors that opened if he even thought about approaching them, and food synthesizers that knew what he wanted for dinner before he did, but navigation controls that worked on the same unnerving principle were just too much for him. After a couple of unfortunate incidents when his mind wandered during what would otherwise have been perfectly safe landings, he decided very firmly to leave such matters to the computers and devote his time to more important business, such as sulking. He sat slumped in his chair, watching the dark blue world rising slowly towards him, and felt almost nostalgic. The last time he'd come to Golgotha, the rebellion had been in its final vicious throes, and practically everyone on the planet had been shooting at him. Now he was just another visitor, no more important than anyone else. Owen had a strong feeling he preferred the old days. At least then he'd been sure who and where his enemies were. He'd had friends and colleagues he trusted with his life, and a cause worth dying for. Now even that had been taken from him. All he had left was a ship he didn't trust, and a love who would never use that word. He looked fondly across at Hazel, brooding furiously in her chair. Even when she was supposed to be relaxing, Hazel Dark still looked as though she might leap up at any moment and tear someone's throat out. Owen didn't mind. He was used to it. Somehow, Hazel knew he was looking at her, without even looking around.
So, where do we go next? Got any plans?
Why is it always up to me? How come you never have any ideas?
I have plenty of ideas, but you're always too chicken to follow them up.
That's because they'd mostly get us arrested or killed, or both. Your ideas have a distressing tendency to revolve around violence, murder, and bloody mayhem, and stealing anything that isn't actually nailed down. We can't get away with that kind of thing anymore. We're not rebels and outlaws now. We're part of the status quo. Hell, technically speaking, we're law enforcement agents.
Boring. You've gotten really boring these days, Deathstalker.
Actually, I do know what I'm going to do next. As soon as we've landed and made our report to Parliament, I'm going straight out again after Valentine Wolf. The trail will still be warm. He won't get far.
You've said that before, Owen, and he's always gotten away. The wolf spent his whole life being somewhere other than where he's supposed to be. That's how he stayed alive so long, in spite of all his enemies. Don't waste your time again, Owen, please. Power down, get some rest, recharge your batteries. He'll pop up again soon enough, doing something appalling, and then we'll get another crack at him.
Things have come to a pretty pass if you're being the voice of reason to my hothead.
Don't think I haven't noticed. Just shows how turned around we both are. We need some downtime, Deathstalker. Viramond hit us hard.
Yeah, not much of a homecoming, all told.
Hazel looked across at him, her face and voice carefully calm and casual.
Owen, how come you never told me about Kathy before? I mean, she was your mistress. She must have been important to you.
She was. Killing her was the hardest thing I'd ever had to do then. I never talked about it because she was none of your business. You could never have understood the kind of relationship we had.
Hazel wasn't angry at his words. She could hear the old pain underlying them.
You could have talked to me. I would have tried to understand. Tell me about her, this Kathy. What was she like? How did you meet her?
Owen was quiet for so long that Hazel had almost decided he wasn't going to answer. But at last he began to speak, his voice calm and almost unemotional, as though that was the only way he could approach such painful memories. He didn't look at her.
Her name was Kathy DeVries. and she was very beautiful. Been a courtesan of one kind or another all her adult life, specially trained and adapted by the House of Joy to fulfill every desire you ever had, and to help you come up with some new ones, too. She was a surprise party favor at a winter ball on Golgotha. When they first presented her to me, I thought she was the most wonderful thing I'd ever seen. We danced and talked, and she listened to me, seemed to understand and care about what I was saying, when so many didn't. She even found my jokes funny. She was perfect. I knew right then I had to make her mine. So I bought out her contract for an utterly extortionate price, and she was my mistress for 7 years. And I was happy. For the first time in my life. Of course, it turned out that she wasn't perfect. Her table manners were appalling. She was far too bright and cheerful first thing in the morning. And she was an Imperial agent, set up to spy on me. Reported everything I said and did to a contact on Golgotha. Oz found out and told me, but I didn't care. I was just a minor scholar in those days, with no interest in politics. Her reports must have made really boring reading. Occasionally I'd say something controversial, just so they wouldn't consider taking her away from me. We were so happy. I don't think we ever once had an argument. It was like finding a part of my soul I hadn't even known was lost. 7 years we had together. Sometimes I think that was the last time I was ever really happy, that I treasured it so much because deep down I knew someday it would all be taken away from me. I loved her so much. I never thought I'd have to kill her, stick a knife in her ribs and twist it, and then hold her in my arms as she bled to death.
Jesus, Owen.
I would have saved her if I could.
She tried to kill you.
Sometimes I think she succeeded. That the best, most innocent part of me died that day. I never did ask her if she loved me. I was afraid of what her answer might be. Maybe if I'd known, she wouldn't have taken so much of me with her when she died.
Stop that right now, Deathstalker. If you start getting maudlin on me, I am going to get up out of this chair and come over and slap you around the head.
You would, too, wouldn't you?
Damn right I would. Never put yourself down, Owen. There's always plenty of others just waiting for the chance to do it for you. Kathy's the past. Let it go and move on.
You're the one who brought it up. And I don't know why you're so interested in my romantic history all of a sudden. You're the one with all the surprises in that department. I still haven't gotten over that time in Mistport when the Wampir Abbot turned out to be one of your exes.
He was a mistake.
And nowhere near the first or the last, by all accounts.
Who's been talking?
Practically everybody. The gossip columnists love you. You've given them more headlines, scandals, and outrages than all the other heads of the Rebellion put together. You've got your own magazine on the Matrix Internet, with daily updates.
You haven't been reading that rubbish, have you?
Nah. I just look at the pictures.
When they finally disembarked from the Sunstrider 2, in the great city known as the Parade of the Endless, home to Golgotha's remaining government and the infamous Bloody Sands of the Arena, Owen and Hazel found themselves besieged by a crowd of reporters. Most of the major news organizations were represented, and all of the minor ones with stringers on Golgotha. Owen's and Hazel's exploits were always news, and the reports trickling in on what they'd found and done on Viramont had raised the journalists' expectations sky high. They surged around Owen and Hazel, shouting their questions, while cameras swooped and dove overhead, searching for the best shots. Interviewers tried to elbow each other out of the way, and fistfights broke out at the back. Even so, no one got too close to Owen or Hazel. They'd learned better, usually the hard way. Hazel hadn't actually killed a reporter yet, but the smart money was on when rather than if. There were even betting pools on which of the more obnoxious tabloid journalists would be the victim. Owen waited patiently for them to calm down a little and sort out their own seniority, while Hazel glared furiously in all directions, her hands flitting worryingly near her weapons. The reporters gave her plenty of room, but reserved their real reverence for Owen, who had overturned the Iron Throne and slain the legendary original Deathstalker. This did absolutely nothing for Hazel's temper, especially when most of her questions these days tended to be pointed inquiries about her relationship with the revered Deathstalker. She tried being facetious, but they just reported everything she said as fact. She tried hitting everyone who brought up the subject, but the others just filmed her doing it. Mostly these days, she just settled for no comment or a similar two-word answer, the second of which was usually off. It didn't help her temper at all that Owen found the whole business hugely amusing, and always winked at the cameras when he said his no comment. And then one of the reporters brought up the recent Deathstalker Hollow movie, and cranked up the tension a whole notch higher. The Rebellion hadn't been finished a week before the first documentaries had hit the Hollow screens. Feature-length films cobbled together from film footage of varying clarity and integrity. People all over the Empire were dying to know the true facts of the Rebellion, and put the wild stories and wilder rumors that circulated into some kind of context. But as people have always preferred the comforts of romance to the dry facts of history, it wasn't long before the various competing documentaries were roughly shouldered from the Hollow screens by the first Deathstalker movie. Part fact and many parts fiction, starring actors no one had ever heard of, it found a vast audience desperate to view the Rebellion in terms of heroes and villains. Action-packed and vastly simplified, it made billions of credits for all concerned, except those on whose lives it was based, and was quickly followed by many more of varying quality and accuracy. From Toby Schreck's prize-winning coverage to wild fantasies that didn't even get the names right, the public ate it all up with spoons. The most recent and most popular movie of all claimed to be a biography of Owen Deathstalker, in which he was portrayed throughout as a saintly and selfless hero, and his associate Hazel Dark was a murderous psychopath, restrained from constant mayhem and bloodshed only by her undying dog-like devotion to Owen. Owen and Hazel were sent free tickets to the premiere, so they went to see it, entirely unsuspecting. Owen laughed so much he hurt himself, and was finally asked to leave by an usher because he was disturbing the rest of the audience. Hazel stuck it out to the end, gripping the arms of her chair so tightly that her hands ached. When the film was finally over, she set fire to the cinema. Luckily, Owen got to her before the city guards did, and hustled her away while the firefighters were still trying to keep the fire from spreading. He then took away all her weapons, wrestled her to the ground, and sat on her, until she promised not to hunt down and kill everyone concerned with making the movie. As Owen had reasonably pointed out, such actions would only have vindicated the movie's depiction of her. It hadn't helped that Owen had been played by a major star and heartthrob, while Hazel had been played by an ex-porn star with more looks than talent, and a quite astonishing cleavage. Hazel had insisted on their putting out a joint statement to the effect that the film was totally inaccurate in all respects, but no one paid any attention. People had always preferred legend to the truth. So, when the reporter, in full battle armor, raised the question of the movie, everyone else backed hastily away so the blood wouldn't get on them. Hazel grabbed a hovering camera out of midair and threw it with devastating accuracy. Hazel glared about her, and her hands went to her sword and gun. Owen moved in quickly from behind and pinned her arms to her sides. The reporters watched, interested, from what they hoped was a safe distance, until Owen had more or less calmed Hazel down, and then they edged forward again, stepping over the unconscious body of their fallen fellow seeker after truth and ratings. Sensibly, they changed the subject.
A word, sir. A very quick question, thank you. Have you seen the new action figures?
Unfortunately, they picked merchandising. The mass audience's appetite for celebrity being what it was, even the endless series of movies and documentaries weren't enough to satisfy the demand for the new heroes. They also showed an insatiable readiness to buy enough general junk based on the movies and their characters to cover a small moon several miles deep. The junk ranged from the truly tasteless to the appallingly cheap and nasty, and Owen and Hazel did their best to take no notice of any of it, as long as their royalties kept coming in. But that was about to change. "Have we seen what?" Owen rather wished he hadn't asked, as the reporter held up a small plastic figure.
"Excuse me? Can you let me through here, please? Excuse me. There's a there's a whole line of them. Bert Nosham, Golgotha Intruder. Fully posable action figures of all the main characters in the Rebellion. Collect the set. They're very popular. Especially the Empress figure. People like to do terrible things to it."
He produced more of the figures and passed them forward for Owen and Hazel to examine. They were cast in bright primary colors, with identical muscular figures and politely generic faces. Certainly, they resembled absolutely no one Owen knew. He looked at Hazel.
Did we authorize these?
Who knows? We signed all kinds of agreements. I lost track.
Yeah. They're harmless enough. Tacky, but harmless.
Either way, we'd better check this out. There's supposed to be a hell of a lot of money in this market, and if there is, I want my share. Or somebody's going to be spending a lot of time in intensive care while they try to make his bones fit together the right way again. Which one's supposed to be Ruby?
The one with all the guns.
Nothing like her. And she couldn't even carry that many weapons at once. She'd fall over. Mind you, with breasts that size, she'd probably fall over anyway. Hell, no one has breasts that size outside of the House of Joy.
Is there a lot of this stuff out there? Owen handed the toys back to the reporter.
Well, yes, sir, Deathstalker. And this is the classier end of the market. There are lunchboxes, posters, games. These are quite popular just at the moment.
He dug into the pack he was carrying and brought out 2-foot-long dolls of Owen and Hazel. Their clothes were reasonably accurate, if not their faces, and at least the proportions were rather more human. The reporter pressed the speaker buttons on their backs.
Fight for justice!
Kill, kill, kill!
Hazel's face went a series of interesting colors, and all the cameras zoomed in for close-ups. Somehow, she held on to her temper. She'd learned to recognize when she was being goaded. Owen had the sense to turn the beginnings of laughter into a not entirely convincing cough. The disappointed reporter decided it was time to play his trump card. If that didn't get her going, he'd eat his union card. He put the dolls back in his pack and casually brought out the last items.
And there are, of course, these.
He held up 2 cuddly furry toys in Owen and Hazel costumes.
A furry toy? They've turned me into a fluffy toy?
Everyone held their breath and decided which way they were going to jump when the shit started flying. The cameras would still get the best shots for them, assuming they survived whatever appalling thing was about to happen. And then Owen reached out to the sweating reporter and took a toy in each hand. I think they're rather cute.
You like these monstrosities?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily want one on my pillow, but I definitely want a piece of this action. These things sell like fury. We're talking major revenue here. Hazel calmed down visibly as she considered this.
Yeah, could be. Kids go crazy for this kind of crap. One good Christmas and we could be set up for life.
Owen smiled inwardly. When in doubt, you could always distract Hazel with talk of money. Assuming these are authorized, there's a lot of knockoff stuff out there with our names and faces on it.
Only till I catch up with the people involved. Still, I'll have a word with Toby Schreck. He'll know the right people to talk to.
The reporters reluctantly decided there wasn't going to be any action after all, and heaved quiet, disappointed sighs. Some even started to recall their cameras. The agent provocateur glumly retrieved his fluffy toys, stuffed them into his bag, and tried to remember if he'd kept all the receipts so he could get his money back. Everyone started to drift away. But then the representative from Parliament arrived, and everything went to hell in a handcart. He was a fairly typical Parliament rep, all things considered, a jumped-up civil servant promoted way out of his depth because there weren't enough warm bodies to go around, trying to convince everyone that he was as important as the messages and instructions he carried. This particular fellow was dressed much too well for what should have been his means, including the traditional courier's red sash and a distinctly snotty attitude. He strode forward, the reporters falling to either side of him, and planted himself before Owen and Hazel. He stuck his nose in the air and glared at them both, just to remind them of their place in the real scheme of things, and then launched into his prepared speech without even bothering to introduce himself.
Sir Deathstalker, Miss Dark, you are commanded to present yourselves before Parliament at this evening's session to report on your mission to Viramond. Parliament wishes to express in advance its extreme displeasure in that not only have you failed to bring back any of the rebel lords alive, but that you also allowed that most detestable villain, Valentine Wolfe, to escape justice. You are required to make a full explanation of these shortcomings. Also, you can forget about your bonuses.
All the cameras started zooming in again. The reporters knew a storm brewing when they saw one. So, just to annoy them, Owen decided to try reasoning with the man. We did put an end to the abominable practices on Viramond. The Charnel House affair is no more, the dead have been avenged, and we did nip in the bud a most dangerous plot against the Empire. Not bad for one day's work.
Ha! All that matters is that you failed to carry out Parliament's demands. What you may or may not have done aside from your brief is utterly irrelevant.
Owen and Hazel looked at each other.
After you.
Thank you. Owen stepped forward and smiled at the representative. You just have to know how to talk to these people. Did everyone get that, or should I pick him up and do it again? The reporter said they'd got it just fine the first time, thank you very much, and then started firing questions at him and Hazel over these new details of their last mission. In particular, they wanted to know just what the hell the Charnel House plot had been, and what the infamous Valentine Wolfe had had to do with it. The group interview then rapidly deteriorated into a bidding war for exclusive rights to the full story. Fistfights broke out among the reporters, and Owen and Hazel took the opportunity to make a quiet exit. Hazel looked down at the fallen Parliament rep on the ground. You know, you would have thought they would have learned to wear body armor by now.
I'm surprised they can still find anyone dumb enough to carry messages like that to us. Must be a new guy.
And if he doesn't improve his manners soon, he's never going to be an old guy. Let me just check if he's got any written orders on him. Owen knelt beside the quietly moaning man and frisked him thoroughly, coming up with a set of sealed orders with his name on them.
That's another thing. How come my name's never on these things?
Oh, they wouldn't dare. Owen broke the wax seal, studied the brief message, fashionably written in real pen and ink, and scowled fiercely.
Oh, damn. They've arranged another parade for us. Right now, on our way to Parliament. I hate parades.
Yeah, but the people love them. It's the only chance they get to see their heroes in the flesh.
Hazel shrugged as Owen got to his feet and dropped the orders onto the rep's chest.
It's no big deal, Owen. We've faced worse in our time. Just smile and wave and try to look heroic. And remember, you're supposed to kiss the babies and pat them on the head, not perform an impromptu exorcism on the grounds that it's supernaturally ugly.
I was bored. You like all this public acclaim shit, the waving and the cheering and the adulation of the masses. I just wish they'd all go away and leave me alone. I don't like crowds. I don't like being stared at. And I hate doing autographs. Last time, my hand ached for a week.
Just relax and enjoy it. We earned this. Let them worship us if they want to.
All right, let's get it over with. And then we can make our report to Parliament, answer a whole lot of stupid and unnecessary questions, and heroically refrain from shooting a whole bunch of people too stupid to live. And maybe then we'll be allowed to go home, crash out, and get some sleep.
Right. I could sleep for a week.
He was right, you know. It wasn't exactly our most successful mission.
Hush, Owen. Your people were avenged. Settle for that. Now, let's go. Our admirers await us.
She clapped him once on the shoulder and led them off the landing pad. Owen followed her, dragging his feet all the way.